The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think we have a lot of work to do together. So I'm going to try to make it somewhat brief, but there are a great many things that we have to talk about that are very, very important for us today. You know, this is our first opportunity as a school to celebrate Mass in the Easter season. I think it's important to say, you know, what that means, right? Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus has defeated the power of death. So what happens is Jesus goes to his death in order to break the bonds of sin and evil and wickedness and the rest. Jesus goes to his death, taking on the full force of sin. And then dying, he defeats sin. Dying, he defeats death. And when he rises from the dead, that same power that raises Jesus from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus then breathes into us. So we have in us death-conquering love, the love of Jesus for us that has conquered death. We have at work in us death-conquering love. There is no more powerful force in the world than that force that Jesus is breathing into us. The question then becomes, okay, well, one is, what do we do to get it? And then the other question is, what are we supposed to do with it? Not just supposed to hang around and say, "Oh, isn't it nice that I have this death-conquering love in me? Isn't that nice? Oh, it's nice for you. It's nice for me." No, the reality is that we have to go to Jesus with faith. So we have to pledge ourselves to him. We say, "Lord Jesus, I'm going to cling to you. I will adhere to you. I will trust you in everything. I will follow you in all things." And that act of faith, as well as our baptism, by our baptism, we're buried with Jesus in the waters of baptism. We die with him in his death, and we rise with him to new life. So by faith and baptism, we adhere to Jesus, we cling to him, we trust him, we follow him, and that's how we receive the life breath of God. We receive the Holy Spirit. He breathes his spirit into us. He's breathing the power of heaven into us. He's breathing his death-conquering love into us. What does he want us to do with it? He wants us to transform the entire world. He wants us to transform the entire world. Okay, now, it begins by allowing God to transform us. me, you, me. Right? So God breathes his spirit into us. His spirit is charity. His spirit is love. So then our whole life is becoming love. Everything we do, everything we think, everything we say is inspired and animated by charity, by love. Okay? Now this is us in the transformation of ourselves, then also the transformation of the world. And we see in the first reading the apostles getting into trouble with the Sanhedrin because they keep talking about Jesus. They won't stop talking about Jesus. How could they stop talking about Jesus? Jesus is breathing his death-conquering love into them. How could they stop talking about Jesus? They're going to talk about Jesus. They don't care what the consequences are. What's happening is they are transforming the world, and the world is pushing back on them. So it's not always easy. Well, we know it's not always easy to change ourselves. It's not always easy to change the world. But that's what we do when we go out with the love of God in our lungs, when we go out in the power of the Spirit and the power of heaven to transform the world. We know that we're ready to make a difference. And you see in the reading, if this endeavor or this activity is of human origin, it will destroy itself. So the Sanhedrin is saying this. They're saying, it's Gamaliel, he's saying, if this is just a human thing, a human endeavor or activity, we don't have to worry about it. That's exactly right. So when we go out to change the world, we have to do it with the power of heaven. We have to do it with God's Spirit. We can't do it, because we think we're smarter than everybody, we're wiser than everybody, right? We're going to make this difference and that change and that thing because I know how it should be. If it's just human activity, or it's our human effort or endeavor, it's not going to make a difference. It might for a while, but it will fade and it will pass away. But when we have the power of God's own life of love, his death-conquering love in us, then what we do will be undying. When we give ourselves to the works of charity, and when we then work to bring the world into renewal, we will see God's plans come to effect. His renewal brought to bear. Okay, now here's a rich participation in it for us because we have to jump to the gospel. Right, this is John chapter 6, the Eucharistic discourse or dialogue. We see Jesus feeding the multitude. Right, 5,000 men, we hear. So the crowd was much bigger than that as well. And he fed them with what? 5 dinner rolls and 2 dry fish. You know, it's like, that's a very small... I don't even know if that would sustain us for one of us for lunch. You know, that's why the small boy had it. That was his lunch. What did you guys pack for lunch today? What did your parents pack you for lunch today? Was it something big enough to feed 5,000 men? Well, it's interesting, actually, right? Because there was a yes over there. And we have to look at it. We have to look at it the way the gospel looks at it. So we might think, no, my lunch could never feed 5,000 men. But if Jesus asked us to feed 5,000 men with our lunch, do you think he could do it? Yeah. Yeah, so that's powerful. Even think about the boy bringing that to the disciples, and because they were asking everybody for food. And think about how much courage that boy had, even though he knew he didn't have enough to feed the crowd. He knew that what little he had, he wanted to bring to Jesus. And the apostles knew that if they brought it to Jesus, he might well do something about it. But this is more than just our lunch, right? What we're looking at is our life. Sometimes we look at the challenges in the world, we look at the challenges around us, our friends, our families, and the rest, and we think, I really can't do much about that. But we can always do something about it. We can always bring ourselves to Jesus. And Jesus is going to receive us, he's going to receive our life, and he's going to multiply it so that it can feed the hungry crowd. And he's, in fact, going to feed the crowd again with his own life. So it's not just our life. He's giving us in exchange for our life, his life. And then we can feed the crowd. We can feed the hungry crowd. And what is his own life of love made flesh for us but the Eucharist? So this is where we have come to the right place today. Because the world is big and it needs a lot of help. And we're small. And of our own strength and wisdom and courage, we don't really know what to do except to come to Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, he gives us his own life of love. He gives us his own body and blood in the Eucharist. He gives us his very self. And then he transforms us so that we can be about the renewal of the world. He transforms us so that we can transform everything around us in the love and power of God.